heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
So I want to read you just a couple of quick tweets here to start this off. And I don't know these people, but these are real messages from real American patriots out there. Gina, she responds and says, Mueller wanted another 10 minutes of fame. He was never unbiased in the investigation. He wanted to find the president guilty, and he couldn't, so he throws a bone to the Dems. The radical left fascists think they can impeach. 60+ million say no. One more. Deb responds, from what Mueller had to say, it was clear as mud. All the Dems and most Republicans said he was as good as sliced bread and could be trusted. Speaking of Mueller, obviously. Boy, they were all wrong. If from the beginning he felt you can't charge a sitting president with a crime, why did he take 2 years and about $35 million? And that really is the question, friends. We're going to answer that question today for you right there that Deb puts out there. So why did that happen? If he knew he couldn't charge a sitting president with a crime, why did this take a couple of years and a lot of taxpayer money? Well, let's also define, friends, what a coup is. Let me define a coup in real terms now, not being a smart guy here. Some people would call it a violent military coup. And that happens in countries. You've seen those before. Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely a seizure of power. It's a coup d'etat, if you will. It's an overthrow, a takeover, a revolution. Now, some people in a third world country would call it a palace revolution. We get that as well. It's a rebellion, a revolt, an insurrection, a mutiny, an insurgence, an uprising. Could be any of those things, people. But sure, there was an uprising, all right. But here it was coming from the inside of our own intelligence agencies. And I'll prove that today to you. Now, you remember the name Lisa Page? You remember that name by all the anti-Donald Trump text messages she exchanged with her lover, you recall. That was the Peter Strzok guy. Now, he was the FBI agent. And the two of them engaged in this affair while investigating the president for this election collusion with Russia. They stole the election, remember. That was the real charge up front. Now, as damning as all that appears to be, people, that may not be what she is even remembered for when we're done here. It may be a few other words she uttered just recently behind closed doors during a congressional interview just a few weeks ago. And what she did there, she told Representative John Ratcliffe out of Texas, and I quote, it's a reflection of us still not knowing. You got to remember now, this was all happening just as Robert Mueller was being named special counsel to take over the Russia investigation. So this was all happening at the same time. With that statement now, Page was acknowledging a big, big fact. So after 9 months of using some of the most incredible surveillance powers on the planet that our government has, the FBI still had not made a case of any kind connecting Trump or his campaign to Russia's election meddling. Now, Page went on to say further, acknowledging this, and I quote again, these are her words, it still existed in the scope of possibility that there would be literally nothing to connect Trump and Russia, no matter what Mueller or the FBI did. So she said, these are her words now. She says this right up front, that is still probably the scope of possibility that there would be literally nothing to connect Trump and Russia, no matter what they did. You know, as far as May 2017, we still couldn't answer the question. And I quote again, she said those words, as of May 2017, we still couldn't answer the question. which was there collusion? But they were hoping and looking for something, and you know that when you look at Strzok and Page's text back and forth. We all know that part of the story. That story was well exposed throughout the media. But the part of the story today I'm telling you about is not exposed. Nobody's talking about this, of course. It may take you a few minutes here for this to sink in, what I tell you about with Page's statement. It may not hit your brain immediately here, but I want you to remember something. After all, she isn't just any FBI lawyer. She was the lead on the Russia case, people. And that's when it started in the summer of 2016. She helped it transition to Mueller through that whole summer of 2017, you might remember. And so shortly after he was fired, the ex-FBI disgraced director, James Comey, so he tells the Senate there was not yet evidence to justify investigating Trump for colluding with Russia. You remember this now. And let me give you his quote so you know these are his words. I like using people's real words, so we're not out of context here, people. And he says, "When I left, we did not have an investigation focused on President Trump." Now, I remember that. Do you remember that? We should all remember that. That was a big soundbite that was out there because there was this whole thing about the president. And then I remember the early investigation saying, well, this wasn't about President Trump. This is just about the Russians, those bad meddling Russians. That's what this is about. Now, you remember that. That wasn't about Trump. Remember that early on? This was a scandal in search of a crime. This was a scandal in search of a scandal. Of course, it was far more than that, people. They knew that it was a farce. And Strzok, now, this is the counterintelligence boss and leader of the Russia probe, keep in mind. Now, he texted Page in May 2017 that he was reluctant to join Mueller's probe and leave his uppity, uppity, uppity FBI post because he kind of figured out and was a little worried, even feared maybe, that there's no big there. These are his words now. There's no big there. That's Strzok's words. So he knew there was no there. So he was a little reluctant because he knew that this was just nothing. This was the witch hunt that the president has pointed out. And clearly these cats have just recently admitted this, but you don't hear this anywhere. It's not out there anywhere. But you only heard all of the rest of the salacious National Enquirer type messaging between Page and Strzok. And it's important because this is where the seed was. This is where this whole thing started from. You see, this was the intelligence agencies that were cooking up some soup here to fry the president's ass. That was the game plan here, people. So Strzok said he wasn't certain there was a broad coordinated effort. Again, he said broad coordinated effort to hijack the election, and that, of course, there wasn't. Russia's been doing this forever. A republic was not going down because of Russia. China does more than Russia does in the election. And we do the same thing back to these cats, by the way. It's really not a big deal, people. It's business as usual, even though you would not know that when you listen to any media heads or whatever you're listening to or feeding into your brain out there, you wouldn't know those facts. Wow. But the whole idea here was the evidence of Trump campaign aides talking about getting dirt on the Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton. That was the big claim there, remember, in the Trump Tower and all that. But friends, that's just normal campaign speak. That's just been going on since George Washington. I mean, anytime you get dirt on your opponent, you use it. I mean, that's just good business. It's good politics, it's good business, it's good everything. You know, if I'm in a contest with you and I get some dirt on you, I'm going to use it. I hate to tell you that right now. That doesn't make that illegal. That just makes that normal. That's normal business. When you got dirt on your opponent, you use it. How do I say that to you any different? You got to know that. You would use it as well. So this whole thing about the text and it's just human behavior. I mean, the gossip back and forth, you know, that was going on with the idea of impeachment, and you follow those texts with Strzok and Page and you really get a sense of what these two were. They were having fun on their media things and they were screwing each other in the process. You know, so by the words of Comey, Strzok, and Page, we now know the Trump Justice Department, and through Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, they cooked this whole thing up with the Mueller special counsel probe before the FBI could validate a damn thing. There was never a crime here. It never existed. This was a charge, extraordinary accusations. It was a cover-up. It was a scandal in search of a crime, which raises the question, if there was no concrete evidence of collusion, why did we need a special counsel? I mean, and listen, Mueller had all the tools. You know, earlier this year on NBC, it was said, and let me read you this quote. It's probably one of the most impressive groups ever assembled for a special counsel investigation. This was Jim Walden now, a former federal prosecutor in Brooklyn. So he told this to NBC News. He says, you've got a collective of prosecutors here who've covered some of the most high-profile and complex investigations in the last 20 years. And they still couldn't get Trump people. And then they hired some, really, the entire group, the cabal there, were all Democrats. They were all heavy donors to the Democrat Party. That's who Mueller hired. And then, of course, they all came out, the right and the left, saying Mueller was a stand-up dude. He was, and I've talked to you before about that. I mean, a stand-up dude who hired the worst of the worst that were fomenting to see how they could pull down a sit-in president. And, of course, they tried everything they could, spent a lot of tax money, a lot of your money they spent, and still they had nothing, people. Now, think about all that a moment. I mean, just connect all those facts I just gave you. And I hope our Democrat friends are listening to this and they can understand what. Now, and again, I take nothing from them that they don't like Trump. I get that. We don't like a lot of people on both sides of the aisle. That's why we have elections, people. And that's understood. But you elect them out of office. You elect other people in. That's how we've done it for almost 240 years here in this republic. What you don't do is use the intelligence agencies to turn against the president you don't like and then try everything to get him out. You see, that's what you don't do. So Robert Mueller, at the end of the day, the man that was supposed to rescue the American people from this Trump presidency, failed. He failed to do so, even though he had all the money, he had all the cards, he had all the players, he had the best prosecutors, best attorneys known to man. It was documented already. I read that to you, that quote from NBC News. So why did Mueller continue on with this investigation, knowing full well there was no collusion? He was never going to find collusion at this point, people. He knew it. Why? Because there was zero collusion. He knew there was no collusion. He knew that very quick. Remember how smart these people are, huh? And remember, Robert Mueller knows a lot. He knows where a lot of bones are buried in Washington. He is part of Washington. This was a made-up fairy tale wish from the left that wanted a new president. They wanted a new leader in the free world. They didn't like their prize in the Cracker Jack box of a scandal, so they continued to make up stories and more reasons to extract this man from the Oval Office. This is equivalent and no better than a coup in some despot-led third world country, and it happened right here in the home of the free and the brave and in your representative republic, that shining city on a hill I talk to you about always, in a fight of good versus evil, in a land called America, people. And so this is a new way to pull a president from office. And then when they tried the obstruction charge that they're trying to impeach the president on now. And then I would ask you this question. If somebody came into your life right now and accused you of all kinds of crimes that you knew in your heart, your soul, in your mind, you had never committed, you never did it, you had never thought of it. It was never part of the narrative of your life. But somebody now was accusing you in public about these things that never happened. So what do you do then, people? Do you sit by and play the game with them and just continue on like everything is fine, hoping that the truth will prevail, that these clowns will be taken to the cleaners? Or do you get a little pissed off? And do you start telling the Republic that it's a witch hunt and you didn't do anything and you're a little upset? So what would you do exactly? And then they want to charge you for saying the truth. You're trying to protect yourself, your reputation, That's what you're trying to do. And that's what President Trump was trying to do, clearly. So where's the obstruction? That he was trying to what? Save his ass? From a bunch of people who were trying to fry him up? That's the obstruction, huh? And that's what they want to impeach him on now, that he was trying to save his own reputation. He was trying to save the presidency and trying to save this republic from the humiliation of a scandal that never happened. You can't make this stuff up, people.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
So now I'd like you to meet here Colonel Jim Warshaw. Jim is retired from the United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence and special missions officer. Jim served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command and has worked on the White House National Security Council. Jim is a regular here and a columnist on America Out Loud, as you know. Jim, the facts that we lay out here about the scandal in search of a scandal here is quite fascinating to me. There are some specific points I'd like to talk to you about before we open this whole conversation up and really go full throttle. One of the points I want to mention to you is when we talk about the intelligence agencies, there's another very interesting point about Admiral Mike Rogers I'd like to bring up a moment. Now, let's remind people, he was head of the NSA in the spring of 2016. And he discovered that the NSA's comprehensive database collecting all these communications in this country were being searched by unauthorized FBI people. And he moved to cut off that access back in the spring of 2016. And then he also went ahead and he met with Trump and he told Donald Trump, which this was as they were moving the campaign headquarters out of Trump Tower and so on and so forth. And this was where the wiretapping came in and all of that business. But he knew, Mike Rogers, that the FBI was already in the soup here and was snooping around. And that got very interesting. With the Mike Rogers, you don't hear much about that now. What do you think about this point about Admiral Mike Rogers and the NSA and, of course, the FBI in there collecting all this data, snooping?
The intelligence agencies don't go out and do this sort of thing on their own. They have a very specific yet diverse mission to protect and defend the United States. They're really our first line of defense against foreign enemies. And it takes senior level government officials, politically appointed people in charge of these agencies to misdirect and misuse and abuse the capabilities and misuse their authorities to do so. And that's what happened here. Mike Rogers is probably one of the most honorable men you could ever meet. Him along with Mike Flynn, I know both of them. Mike Rogers saw his organization being abused and misused, and he made a stop of it. What transpired over that time was once he, and he has the authority to do that. That's his organization. He's responsible for how it's run and maintained and conducts its business on a daily basis. And he stopped it. And that ruffled the feathers pretty hard with senior officials in the Obama administration, who he answered to, obviously. So they looked for a way around that. And that way around it was to come up with false narratives, stories, intelligence, news reporting, and you know, that turned into the development of the dossier, which everyone is well aware of, and there was actually a number of dossiers that were put out, as well as integrated with false news stories to get around solely for the purpose of getting the FISA warrants, because the NSA is able to do this without any warrants because it's part of their daily collection of information. It sucks in everything, regardless of American or a foreigner. And then the Americans have to be masked and have to be separated and cannot be used whatsoever. Of course, that was the abuse that the Obama administration used through people like Clapper and Brennan and Comey, McCabe, and you know, you can go down the whole list. So they looked for, we got to continue to do this. And so with the FISA warrants, which is a judicially promulgated effort to get the NSA to do something with, you know, just like in regular law enforcement, you get a warrant signed by a judge to investigate. And so that's what they did, upon which Mike Rogers was asked to retire. And similar with what we saw with General Flynn a number of years earlier. So that's really how this part of it all went down.
It's fascinating. I mean, it's fascinating for people to understand what our intelligence agencies and spying agencies were doing and how this information was being used. It was very clear, Jim, that there were an awful lot of people on the left and the right that were very nervous about a Donald Trump presidency. And early on, they figured that out and they realized it. And now this had been going on for a lot of years. So what's happened here that Americans still are not privy to is that there has been a coup going on for many, many years, even before Trump. A lot of this deep spying and a lot of this stuff has been going on for a long time. And then you've got the power people in there that are trying to hold on to power. And of course, our Constitution doesn't allow a president to stay into office and to hold on to power. You have to move on. So reluctantly, President Obama moved out and moved just a couple of blocks down from the White House with Valerie Jarrett and company. That's where the move-in van took the stuff as he continued to try to operate some sort of a governmental enterprise. This is no different than any other country, any third world country out there who reluctantly does not want to pass on the reins of one administration to another. And that's what I see this as. You agree with that point or disagree?
Absolutely, I agree. And, you know, that was part of the whole plan to ensure that the mantle was passed to Hillary Clinton. And once that occurred, everything that was in place to remove Donald Trump, and if it wasn't Donald Trump, if it was one of the other candidates, it would have been used against them. And all of this would have been brushed under the rug, or worse than that, all totally destroyed, and there would be no evidence of it as long as the people in place in the FBI and CIA and NSA and all the other intelligence agencies and senior cabinet-level offices were all in sync with the new president on this. One other point that I think we'll see play out in all this is the Obama administration started doing this long before this was discovered, particularly when Mike Rogers put the hammer down in 2016. This was going on as far back as 2012, and I may be one of the first to note this. Obama was even spying on and using the apparatus of the intelligence community on Hillary Clinton because he wanted to make sure he had any goods on her to be able to use against her if she'd been elected president to basically say, you're going to do things this way, you're going to do things this way, we can remove you too. That's the real danger of what we had here, even though we're thankful that Hillary Clinton didn't get elected. But, you know, this is the sinister type of person that was at the helm. And I can't help but imagine some of the things that are going to come out over the course of the next 6 months or a year as these investigations continue under Attorney General Barr.
You know, the point you make about Clinton is a really important point. I want people to understand what Jim just said. I mean, that's a real critical point here. So that administration was using it even against a fellow Democrat. And I want to tell you why that is. This is a really significant point in all of this. See, what we're dealing with here is this. This is not a fight, people, against Democrats and Republicans. And I know a lot of you out there believe it is. And when I invite our Democrat friends in, I really truly mean that because we have a lot of cool people on the left. We'd love to have them get some of this truth so they can help us fight the fight. See, the problem, what we're talking about here in this coup and this scandal is not a Democrat and Republican Party problem. I really need you to understand that and take that from here. And I know many of you don't really understand that still and really don't buy into this, but what we're really talking about here is a deep apparatus form of government. Some people refer to it as a deep state, a shadow government, call it whatever you want. And this isn't just, and I want to point this out to you, this really didn't all happen just on Obama. Now, Obama put it on steroids, just like he put a lot of things on steroids, but he was primed for that. But the only reason the Republic, again, that we got a man like Barack Obama into office was because of what had happened before him. This problem goes back for quite some time. This problem of government that we're speaking about is really an Obama, Bush, Clinton, Bush problem. This goes back many, many, many administrations. And you've seen our rights and privileges and liberties being stolen from us as the NSA has been empowered and the intelligence agencies have been empowered, all in the name of what? National security and terrorism, fear. Fear. That's why the terrorists always won this battle, because it's been a fear propaganda campaign based on fear, which has empowered the power seekers to steal the palace. And they stole the beauty, the majesty of America. And this has been going on with Democrats and Republicans alike, people. I need you to understand that. So don't leave here and think that anybody's insulting Democrats. No, I'm insulting the whole group, including the Republicans. So that's an important point to make here. I just need you to take that from this conversation and stop the Democrat and Republican bashing, please, because it's not going to get this Republic a damn play. It's not going to get us further. It's not going to break through this gridlock here that's happening here. We have a bigger fight on our hands. So basically then, Jim, this was always about guilty before we have any facts proven. I mean, there's so much is going to flush out of this now, as you say here. But that shows that, you know, there was never a crime here, but they were in search of a crime here. And so Robert Mueller says, if we had had confidence and that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said that, Mueller said. This is as he spoke in his minutes of fame the other day here. We did not determine whether the president did commit a crime. You've never even seen how ass backwards this is. This is, I mean, they even put it out there. It's so illogical, Jim. They even put it out there to tell you we never have had a crime, but we are in search of a crime because we don't like this president. We don't like his politics and we want him out of there, but we couldn't find a crime. So I can't tell you we didn't find a crime, but have you ever seen anything so insane in your life?
You know, when you look at the various scandals over the course of American history, and you know, you had Iran-Contra and Watergate and what have you, this by far is the most, you know, in depth, in scope, in breadth, is just incredible. And you know, you made a good point there about, you know, it's a crime in search of a crime. They knew very well there was nothing there, but they knew if they played it right and they had a game plan. And they had, you know, we can remember when the discussion was they needed an insurance policy. And, you know, that's part of the crux of this whole thing. That's how deep this went. They didn't care. They just knew they had to have Hillary Clinton in office to continue the Obama legacy. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a historian. I go back and look at what we've done. Years and years ago, you can go back to the 20s, 30s, 40s, and I'll just be real quick on this. The political left, socialists, progressives, communists, all of them together, looked for a way to get into the politics and the mindset of Americans. And they were able to tap first into the Democratic Party, and that they embedded themselves for the next 50, 60 years. But as you said, there's blame on the Republican side too, because the establishment effort that we talk about a lot is the part of turning the Republican Party into the same thing and eventually having a one party government, whatever it turns out to be, both Democrat, Republican, both Democrat and Republican by platform and ideology would go away. And we'd have this one, you know, whether it's socialist or a radical socialist or communist government that we've seen in the rest of the world, that's what we were turning into. And, you know, it took a Donald Trump to at least put his foot down. And now he's playing the political price for this. Mm-hmm. And I watch this stuff more closely than I've ever watched anything before. And it was indeed a political coup d'etat, a political assassination, if you will, and it's continuing. It's not finished.
That's it.
That's what all what Mueller did was here was keep the narrative going against Donald Trump. He left that door open for the Democrats to continue now with the impeachment effort, and they're going to do it. And the House is going to impeach Trump. Of course, it's got to be, you know, validated by the Senate, and that's not going to happen. But they're going to say Donald Trump was impeached based on the House vote, and the House will vote. And after that, this is my prediction, and talking with a lot of folks and doing a lot of research, this is how the Democrats think. They are so one focused on it, an issue. They don't look at the second, third, fourth order effects, which is really a good thing. And this will be the collapse of at least the U.S. House of Representatives in the hands of the Democrats, and the Republicans will take it back again in 2020, because they're going to be so intense on impeachment, and they're going to announce it just before the election, and they'll use the mainstream media and everybody else to play it up big. It will be a major propaganda message from the standpoint of the president was impeached by the House of Representatives, not by the Congress as a whole, and you know, not by anybody else, but they're going to play that narrative to try to impact the election. And I think it's going to backfire on them.
Yeah. Well, they're trying to scar his record. That's what happens. And it becomes a scar and a mark on there. Of course, you know, we'll see which way the winds blow on that, but not that we're too worried about that, because that at the end of the day will have a major asterisk next to it to say how bogus it was if all this information continues to come out. The interesting point you make there about both parties, Jim, and that I've made and you followed up on, there's something interesting about this when you talked about the two parties becoming one. And I really need people to know that, because again, if this voice of a nation, if this program right here can unify and bring people in to understand that we're in it for all Americans, that would be like the biggest accomplishment of my life and the biggest accomplishment for anything I could do on this network, quite frankly. But the essence of this is so important, and I don't want this to be lost on any of us. And what this means, people, is this. Now, I also am not a conspiracy kind of fellow. I never have been in my life. And so you hear Colonel Warshak say that a moment ago, and I respect and appreciate that he says that. And I don't know him to be that either. All I've known him, he always deals with facts and data, whatever they may be. And I hold him accountable often enough, privately and on public space here, people. So I know that that's true. But I am not a conspiracy kind of guy. I've never drank that Kool-Aid ever in my life. I deal with data, facts, and real life stuff. But I know what's happening here, and I've just spelt out a compelling case of how bad this is. I wanted to get into the nuts and bolts today with you, but here's the thing. This party that Jim just references with the left and the right, Democrats and Republicans, what this becomes, people, is the Uniparty. The Uniparty. I mean, I don't know what they call it, but it's a Uniparty. And so he's right. The combined efforts and forces of this. And you see, that's the next step before you become a globalist sort of movement. You've got to unite, become a uniparty. So you get all those big voices in the Democrats and Republicans together. And then you go after the globalist movement. And then you've got the United Nations. And now you've got this one world sort of thing, which, you know, a lot of people would look and say, well, how can that really be? Well, it's just a fact of life, people. Do your research and find out that, again, as I shared with you on the very first show of Voice of a Nation, we're in a very precarious spot in our republic. Between 200 and 300 years, every power has been crushed in humankind. Nobody makes it past this mark of where we're at right now. So we are at a point, I continue to point this out to you, of American exceptionalism or not. But we're at that critical point. So don't take this country for granted, because you'll be damn sorry you did. I'm telling you that right now. So I say that globalist uniparty thing because I think it's an important point, again, for you to take from this talk today. Jim, I want to talk about also this declassification. Another thing that I was most fascinated in is that President Trump came out and stunned a lot of people by really, I mean, it was equivalent to opening up the doors to William Barr and saying, okay, go have had it. Now, a guilty man and a guilty president wouldn't open up the doors and declassify all the information. They simply wouldn't do that, people, because there's your evidence right there. You see, the president always can create executive power and hold that stuff back. And he didn't do that, Jim. That's a very telling sign to the entire system, isn't it?
That's exactly right. He followed the law. He followed the directives that govern how declassification is done, who he can give authority to, and that's where we're at. Now, having served in the intelligence community for many, many years, I'm very familiar with the declassification aspect of this, as well as declassification aspect of this. The president has the ultimate authority as commander-in-chief, as president of the United States, by his executive powers, to classify anything he wants that he deems to be needs to be protected for the purpose of national security and to protect lives. But he also has the authority to declassify in the name of transparency, in the name of justice, and in the name of ensuring whatever it is that's being done can be done most effectively and efficiently from the standpoint of intelligence. By giving his authority to the Attorney General, now here is a very unique way he did this. Normally, whenever there's a intelligence information that needs to be declassified and the president gives the authority to declassify it, it's not going to be the president himself, and it's not going to be the NSC, the National Security Agency, which is the president's within the White House, and that's his national security team. It goes to the agencies who originally classified it, because the agencies have classification authority, as do any organization in the U.S. military to protect our forces and our missions and our operations. They go to the original source of the classification, which, if you also recall, several weeks ago, the president called in the director of CIA and the director of the Office of National Intelligence and the NSA and said, okay, you work with Attorney General Barr to declassify this. So those three agencies predominantly, because they're the ones who collected and put together all the classified information that deals with this, to work with the Attorney General to do that. So there's a collaborative and cooperative process here where this is going to happen. And so right now, as we speak, they're going through all these documents to declassify them, which are both the FISA applications and the FISA warrants. Those are the predominant documents, as well as any other supporting material that the intelligence agency have. So it's a very complicated, long, drawn-out, detailed process. It's not just snap of the finger, declassify everything. They still have to protect sources and methods, because we don't want that revealed to our adversaries and enemies around the world. And we want to protect innocent people whose names may be dragged into this. And so all that, it's a very complicated process. Will all of the, just because it's declassified, will it be made public to the American people? That remains to be seen. It may be declassified, but it may be covered under FOUO for official use only, because, again, they're still trying.
That's a great point. That's a great point, because William Barr is going to have to decide that.
The general overall role that the Obama administration was involved in, and I think it's going to be very, very devastating for
The Attorney General says that he personally felt that Special Counsel Robert Mueller could have reached a decision about whether or not President Trump obstructed justice during the Russia investigation. What did he mean by that?
Well, he meant just that it's pretty obvious that there was no obstruction of justice. And it pushes it back on Robert Mueller for asking the question, so why were you not able to come to that conclusion? Why did you leave it hanging? And if you listen to most of the lawyers who have been on a lot of the networks who know what's going on, the in-depth, they basically said, you know, unless you can come to a conclusion, it's a dead issue. If there's not enough evidence to make a charge, you cannot make it up in your mind. And I think what Barr did there was he had to almost play both sides of the fence And so he basically came out and said there's no charge with regard to Russian collusion, but he wanted to leave or cast some doubt and leave people wondering. And it plays more to the political left than the political right, but it also plays very heavily on people who are on the fence. And as I mentioned before, you know, I think this was deliberately done in order to provide the impetus for the Democratic Party's impeachment narrative to take hold and advance it now, because that's happening. We're watching that right now. They take this as their authorization to move forward with impeachment. And I think, you know, unless Mueller is so far out in front of this and so crafty where he says, I'm going to let you go down that road and crash and burn at the end because you may come up with articles of impeachment and you may vote on it in Congress. It's not going to go anywhere because the Senate's not going to vote on it. Unless he's that capable of thinking that far out to let him, here, run with it, do whatever. Either way, he left it open for that opportunity there, and you know, we'll just have to wait and see what the Democrats do on this. But they're going to go full bore on this all the way up until the 2020 election, and they're going to reveal it, you know, maybe a month or two before the election. Say, okay, we voted, and then that will be hanging over the whole election process in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And part of that reason that's Jim puts it out there like that, friends, is because that becomes the strategy now, is that you continue to build a campaign. It really now has turned to the 2020 election. All eyes are moving forward toward that moment. And so the idea is, if you can continue to discredit this president, and it's because we have all of the political operatives playing their typical games, and they do it back and forth. And so this is all about the next power seize. Yeah, that's what it is. It's all power for the 2020 election. So all eyes go to that now as they continue. And the big question becomes, as you hear Colonel put it out there, does the House finish off the impeachment? We will see in due time here. Does Pelosi pull the lever on that? She seems to be reluctant, but she may find herself not having any other choice in the matter, or there may be a coup in the House when they tackle her. But there is a movement in America to become a Marxist socialist sort of country. And these people just think this is somehow some sort of an answer to the future. It is not, clearly. And so our job here on the Voice of a Nation is to continue that fight forward. But again, we need to pull more Democrats, more moderates, more independents into this conversation to understand the fight isn't with the Democrats and the Republicans, people. The fight is with these deep operatives that are out for power, and we the people. This is a fight for we the people. That's what this is all about. And we've got to continue that fight forward. Our panel of voices will continue on in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
So on our panel of voices here today, we have a treat. We have Linda Martinelli. Linda is an entrepreneur, owner, and president of Proforma Graphic Print Source. She's a weekly columnist and a force here on America Out Loud. Dr. Ron Martinelli. So you hear the connection. First time we've done this, actually. We have both Ron and Linda here. Dr. Ron is a retired police detective and America's forensic expert, really. And he leads a premier team of forensic experts around the nation. And they are both hosts of Talking While Married, which is an outstanding program at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on America Out Loud. It is a highly unique program. And I hear that all the time from people who enjoy it because of exactly that. It's always about, remember, if you could listen to a couple talking about real life and politics and what have you over coffee, what would they really say? Well, that show sort of reveals that. Sometimes he kicks her in the ass, but mostly she kicks him. And so in any event, as it should be in any good, strong relationship. So let's start there. And let me start with you, Linda, and put you right out here on this. So I really believe that, you know, there's a lot that's going to play out here, as Colonel Warshak says, but I really believe that this, we're in for the fight of our lives here in America with this republic. And Linda, do you agree or disagree with the fact that I don't think this is a fight with Democrats and Republicans? And I know I hear that every day from people who really believe that, but I don't believe that's it. I believe this is a far bigger fight ahead. Talk about that.
Oh, I agree with you that there is really a fight for, you know, the soul of America right now. Which way are we going to go, and where is our history going to take us here? There's a lot of things at work, but I want to go back, Malcolm, to Mueller, which, you know, that whole thing, as you said, that was set up from the beginning, where you pick a guy who, you know, we pick people by their associations. His associations were with the very people that were involved in this whole trying to get Trump out, like Comey and all of those people. Those are his friends. So why we pick a guy like that, I don't know. His report clearly says that there was no underlying crime. There was no collusion with Russia, none. So why we're still on this is really the question. I mean, why is the Congress going forward with this whole impeachment thing? Because this really has nothing to do with this investigation. It's already been said that there was nothing that happened. So the Trump hysteria is and has been just crazy since the moment he got elected. They are not going to let up on this. There is no grounds for impeachment whatsoever. Yeah. Yet they go forward, and I don't understand this. We're not doing the work of the country here. We're wasting our time, all of the things that we could be doing on behalf of the American people, and I think that that's a crime in and of itself.
That's it. Hey, the reason, I've got an answer for what you put out there, a great question here, and I think the reason for that, Linda, is that in order to qualify the coup, in other words, in order to make it official, the coup, you've got to have a reason within the constitutional boundaries, not that you really pay attention to the Constitution, but the point is, you've got to have a reason to save face with the American public, and so the impeachment is the tool to be able to make it official. In other words, to make the coup official. It's either that or you go in there with guns into the Oval Office and you seize him and you pull him out, as they would do, Ron, in a real third world country. They would go in there and they would just grab him. They would take charge of him and they would arrest him and put him in jail and do whatever they want to do with him. But here the idea is the impeachment is the tool for that, because they have no other means to get it. And it's on a fairy tale scandal that does not exist, obviously. But more than that, it's also just about this made up stuff and then obstruction.
So the first thing that people need to keep in mind is that they didn't just have investigators investigate the whole collusion issue. They had advocates as investigators. So, you know, what's the difference between an investigator and an advocate? See, I'm a forensic investigator. My advocacy is only for forensic facts and evidence. Attorneys, Mueller, the 14 attorneys, all of which who were Democrats and donors to Democratic campaigns and Hillary Clinton, they are attorney advocates. So they advocate for people or entities. So what is the entity that they're advocating for? And I would suggest to you that it's the deep state. And I would suggest to you further that if there was any collusion, it was not on the part of President Trump and his advisory staff. It was with the intelligence community and the media. So we have the FBI, we have the CIA, we have the NSA. So you had Clapper, Brennan, Comey, the triumvirate in collusion with the media. And we know that for a forensic fact, because the media has already discussed the leaks that they provided. All of those people leaked to the media, and now we see that Brennan and Clapper are actually employed by the media as paid pundits. So that's the advocacy. So, you know, they carried on a advocacy investigation instead of a forensic investigation. So when this, you know, we boil this whole thing down to, and I think Attorney General Bill Barr is going in that direction. And that's why he has all these people scared out of their wits. And they're pointing at each other now. This whole thing is going to implode because he's going to get to the very basics of the affiance from the intelligence community that provided the information to a federal magistrate who signed off on the FISA warrants. Now, the interesting thing about FISA as opposed to a criminal warrant, what do you need? Well, for a criminal warrant, you need probable cause, but in a FISA warrant, because it's security related, you need a little bit less than reasonable suspicion. This goes all the way back to what Mueller discussed yesterday and what he didn't discuss. So what he didn't discuss is, to me, as a forensic investigator, even more important than what he did discuss. He didn't discuss any reasonable suspicion or probable cause whatsoever that pointed to Trump, you know, as a person who colluded with the Russians. Why is that? Well, because there's nothing there. And Jim said that, and you've said that. There was nothing there. If there was something there, we would have seen it in Mueller's report that took 2 years. He had a staff of over 30 people, and including FBI and DOJ investigators, and found absolutely no connection between Trump and the Russians and collusion. He found nothing. But yet at the same time, he would have had to have found collateral information about the Clinton campaign, about things that Obama did in colluding with the Russians and getting the payment, who gave payments, how did the whole Steele dossier emerge, where was the funding for that? You know, you got to follow the money. So the next thing that I want to discuss is, so then why? Why? Well, because from the get-go, they did not, the Democrats and the people in the deep state did not ever anticipate that President Trump was going to be President Trump, okay? That Donald Trump was ever going to become President of the United States.
That's exactly
it. It was going to be a Clinton landslide. And now what they've got here is a situation where they cannot control President Trump. He's his own man. And what's interesting about President Trump and why his presidency resonates with me is that he's a populist president and a business subject matter expert. He is not interested in power just for power's sake. He's not interested, like the Democrats are, in power for the entitlement, enslavement of the lower class. He's not interested in that. Trump is interested in empowering everybody, moving us all forward, making sure that we have national security. And he's developed, and they hate him for this, what I would refer to as a positive nationalistic policy that keeps the United States in strong positions of security and leverage. He's against the European Union's globalism. He's against the corrupt United Nations and the George Soros type of control of our country. You know, everybody knows, at least people that are in the know, understand that George Soros is the man behind the curtain.
Well, his name comes up quite a bit, obviously, as well as other names when we talk about big globalists and their movement to unify the entire globe. Somehow a lot of people are buying into that theory. And this is one of the big pivotal points in our history, I think, which is really going to that end. I've never seen anything like this in our lifetimes, but certainly my lifetime, where you've seen them take action like this here.
Linda, within the with where we're at right now, so the president now declassifies all of this information. The Attorney General Barr, now he also is under a lot of threat, a lot of pressure. Seems to roll off his shoulder, but I'm sure it's taken its impact on him as well. I find it very interesting that he comes out of retirement at this time, at this place in history. I mean, very unlikely candidate for this role. I mean, he's already served in that position back in the Bush presidency. So it's very unlikely he would have been here at this time. But I find it very, very unique with him now here. How do you think he will do with all of this information? And when he goes ahead, do you think there'll be charges to some of these Democrats we're speaking about in some of these other midstream operatives and might be Republicans too? Who knows? Because again, it's a deep state we refer to it as. You think some people are going to jail?
I think it's possible, and I think that William Barr is a very ethical man, and he follows the rule of law, and he's very much for the Constitution, and I think that he will do the right thing, and I think he'll get to the bottom of a lot of this. And, you know, it's, I almost wish we could get out of all of this, because it's just like being mired in a swamp all the time, and we're sick and tired of it. But I do appreciate that he's going to go after the people that started this, because as you said, Malcolm, this was a coup, and somebody needs to be accountable for that. And what Mueller did the other day in his press conference was absolutely despicable, because what he did was he couldn't find anything in his 2 years of wasted time. And I think he desperately wanted to. So now what he did is he made one last effort to throw a bone to the Congress to say this false thing that he couldn't have prosecuted the president anyway. And that's not true at all. So, you know, what he did was he just wants to keep this flame burning. And I just think that that was a despicable thing to do. He should have just faded off into the sunset and let this be. And it just shows the partiality here. I think William Barr is going to do a phenomenal job. And the thing that I love about President Trump is, despite all of this adversity, boy, he goes forward every single day. And every single day in the news, you see something big that he's done. By the way, you have to look for it, because the news really isn't reporting things like that Japan now is buying beef from us after a 19-year hiatus. They're not reporting that he has taken tariffs off of steel from Mexico. You don't see those things.
Right, right.
Every single day there's something big, and he's just going forward and doing his job. And as Ron said, you know, he is a president for the people. And I love that about him.
Well, again, the reason that you're not hearing any of that in the media is because it is really all about the 2020 election right now. And the media is obviously in the camp for what they want. They seem to be lovers of all this government stuff. And with this globalist movement that seems to be in full throttle here, how shocked are you, Ron, with the intelligence agencies in this country, having worked with them so often over the years? How much of a shocker is this to you?
Well, I think if there's any shock at all, it's just how deep this went, where we had several agencies, you know, like I said, in collusion. And I'm very happy that William Barr is in the position of Attorney General, because Jeff Sessions, to me, was scary because he was completely inept and never did anything. Barr will get to the bottom of this. As to whether or not anybody gets prosecuted as regards to this thing, you know, the one thing that I learned about the Beltway in Washington, D.C., having worked around there, is that there's justice for us and justice for them. And there's two different justice systems, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I hope, because we have a new sheriff in town, we'll see some justice for the people.
Yeah, well, you know, that point you just bring up there, it was pointed out by the NSA technical director, William Binney, the other day on this program, when he said justice, the Justice Department, is, again, there is no just is, it's just us. Meaning that's their mantra there. It's just all about them. So it's a different form of justice, isn't it now, people, you know? That's the fight you need to bring forward here. And it's a good reminder for all of us here on The Voice of a Nation. It's a message I want to leave you with, friends. And hey, listen, my bigger message always to you is it's time to get involved and get loud.